Well, one of the accounts of Jesus' resurrection comes to us from Luke chapter 24. Luke said this in verse 1. He said, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of Jesus. Now, note, these are some bold ladies, right? Like, these are some bold ladies. If I ever went to a tomb that's supposed to be sealed, and I find it not sealed, there is no way that I'm going inside or anywhere near that tomb. These ladies show up, you know, with some spices to prepare the body for its true burial, for its official burial that didn't fully take place because of the Sabbath. They show up and they're like, an unsealed tomb? Let's check it out. Like that's kind of a funny little detail there. Now, verse number 4, while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And then they remembered his words. Now, Jesus is no longer in the tomb because he is no longer dead, just as he predicted. He is no longer in the tomb because he has risen. He is no longer dead, just as he predicted, he prophesied, and he foretold. He is alive, so you won't find him here in the grave any longer. Verse 9 says this, returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up, and he ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away amazed at what had happened. Now, this is the story that Jesus' followers wrap our entire lives around. That Jesus, our Savior, he went to the cross. He died for our sins, paying with his sinless life to satisfy the justice of God. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose victoriously, overcoming and breaking the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. And because of this victory, because of his victory, we are extended an invitation to new life because he is not here. He has risen from the dead just as he told you he would. It's an incredible story. It's the story. It's the most important story of all time. But today, I want to zoom in on one phrase that was spoken by an angel to the women who showed up at the grave. I want to zoom in on one single phrase that I think helps us understand exactly what happens to us and what happens to us when we respond to what Jesus did for us. And it's that simple phrase right in the middle of what we read, where the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? See, there's three things that I feel like God has for us to hear flowing out of this one single line. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And the first thing is simply this, that you won't find life in a place that only has death to offer. You won't find life in a place that only has death to offer. See, so for many of us, there's the song that we're familiar with or that you've heard somewhere along the line, or even if you haven't heard the song, you've heard the expression, looking for love in all the wrong places. It comes from a 1980 song written by Johnny Lee. It was a country song, and is looking for love in all the wrong places. You all right? Here's the thing. For many of us, we're not looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for life in all the wrong places. Now, some of you might be looking for life by looking for love in all the wrong places. But for many of us, what's been true about us at many points in our lives and maybe true of us today is that we're looking for life in all the wrong places. And when I say life, you might have a lot of different thoughts. You might go, I'm already alive. I'm not looking for life. And you're right. But you're looking for meaning. You're looking for joy. You're looking for purpose. You're looking for peace. You're looking for fulfillment. You're looking for connection. You're looking for acceptance. You're looking for approval. You may not know that you're looking for life, but every one of us is looking and searching for the things that we think will make or break life, the things that we think define a life, the things that we think if we don't find them, life isn't really life, or life isn't worth living. And that's good. We should be looking for those things. I actually believe that God created every one of us with a hunger and desire for those things. But so often we go looking for those things in places and from people that have nothing like life to offer us. See, we pursue relationships thinking, well, I'll find acceptance and I'll find approval and I'll find connection and that will bring me life. Or we pursue career thinking we'll find purpose and meaning and fulfillment. And when we get career right, we'll have life right. Or we pursue financial goals because if we just have enough money, we'll have peace, we'll have joy, we'll have freedom, we'll have stability. And those things will bring us the life that we have always wanted. But here's what you know and here's what I know. While those things are all good things, those things can't ever really provide what you're truly looking for. And so you pursue the relationships, but you still haven't found the acceptance and the approval and the connection. And you pursued the career and you got the career, but you didn't find the purpose or the meaning or fulfillment. You just found a job and you got the paycheck and you've got the Bitcoin and you've got the house and you've got retirement secured, but you haven't found peace or joy or freedom that you were seeking when you pursued those things. Now, when we find ourselves there, we have a choice. We have a choice to look to something beyond the relationships, beyond the career, beyond the financial success, or whatever else that we're looking to look to something beyond and something bigger, or to pick up a shovel and dig deeper into the same things and the same places. And you know what your natural tendency is and my natural tendency and like all of our natural tendency is when we find ourselves faced with that choice? Yeah, it's to pick up the shovel and to keep digging, right? Because sure, I didn't find what I was looking for in that relationship, but maybe I'll find it in a different one. Or maybe I didn't find it yet in this relationship. I just need to try harder here. Maybe I didn't find purpose or fulfillment or meaning yet in my career. I just need to keep digging. And I didn't find peace and joy and freedom at $100,000 a year. I'll work until I make $200,000 a year and I'll find peace and joy there, right? We double down in the same direction that we've already been digging. And you know, when you find yourself doing that, when you find yourself doubling down and digging harder and digging further in the same direction that you've already been digging, it doesn't make you bad. It makes you human. I've done that. All of us have done that at some point along the way of life. It doesn't make you bad. It makes you human. But here's the thing. If I could, as a pastor, give you some wise advice, if you find yourself digging a deeper and deeper hole that leads to nowhere, put down the shovel. Put down the shovel. You will not find life in a place that only has death to offer. You will not find life in a place that has no life to offer. You will not find peace in a place that doesn't have peace to offer. You will not find acceptance in a relationship that doesn't have acceptance and approval to offer. You will not find what you're looking for because those places and those people don't have it to offer you. You put down the shovel with the realization that the direction you're digging doesn't have and never had what you're truly searching for. And it's time to search in a new and a living direction. Because here's the thing, what I really believe is that God gave you a desire for life because that desire is only truly met in Him. It's only truly met in Him. So the women go and the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You look for the living among the living. You look for life from the life. You look for life from the source of life. You look for life in the direction that has life to offer, which is truly only God. That God created you with a desire for peace because peace is only found in Him when you're at peace with Him. God created with you a desire for approval because your ultimate need for approval can only be met with the approval of your Heavenly Father. God created you with a desire for purpose and meaning because we find our ultimate purpose and life's true meaning when it comes from the Creator of life. You won't find life in the places or the people that only have death and defeat to offer. You will only find life in the one who is life and has life for you, whose life was indestructible, who laid down His life and then took it back up again when He raised from the dead, who is life and has life for you. You will not find life in places or in people that only have death to offer. So you won't find the living, you won't find life among the dead. You will only find life in the one who gave you life. The second thing that I feel like God has to say to us today is simply this, that the place you find yourself does not define yourself. The place you find yourself does not define yourself. See, I sent our next gen pastor, Devin, this screenshot from my notes app, April 11th of 2023, 2 days after Easter Sunday last year. It said, Easter 24, living among the dead. The place you find yourself doesn't define yourself. Meaning that for almost a year, for some of you watching right now, God has known that you would need to hear that the place you currently find yourself does not define yourself. See, when Jesus began to breathe in those in the closed sealed tomb, I would imagine there was a whole lot of emotions going through his mind, his body, his spirit, his soul. First of all, we did it. We pulled it off. Yeah. Woo. All right. Second of all, man, it's really stuffy in here. Third, man, it's dark. Fourth, when are the angels going to roll away the stone? Because it's a little bit claustrophobic. It's stuffy. It's dark. I don't know. I'm alive, thank God. But we need to get this show on the road because I'm feeling a little bit tight in here. I guess I'll kill the time by folding up this linen cloth they wrapped me in a little too tightly. Thank you very much. Fifth, while still waiting for the angels who ran on New Mexico land of manana time, I can't believe this is where this has all ended up, in a place of death and defeat. But let me ask you a question. While Jesus found himself in a place of death and defeat, was Jesus dead and defeated? Absolutely not. Jesus found himself in a place that none of us would want to find ourselves. Was Jesus defined by where he found himself? Absolutely not. Jesus was alive and Jesus was life personified even while finding himself in a place of death. Some of you hearing me right now, you have found yourself in a place or in places that you never imagined that you would end up. You find yourself anxious and fearful, find yourself dealing with deep depression, find yourself deeply hurting and dealing with pain and trauma, find yourself broken and picking up the pieces, find yourself brokenhearted. You find yourself in a mess. You find yourself in a place of addiction. You have found yourself, or you currently find yourself, in a place or places that you'd never thought you'd be. And when you think about what those places represent, it feels like you have found yourself in a place of death, in a place of loss, in a place of how did I end up here, in a place of defeat, in a place of destruction, in a place where life as you hoped it would be has been destroyed. That's where you find yourself. And the temptation that we face so often in these moments is the tendency to define ourselves by where we find ourselves. Or that where we are is all we are. Or that where we are is all we will ever be. You think, I'm hurt and I haven't moved on. I'm just going to always be a person who's hurt. Or I'll always walk with a limp from this. I'm suffering depression. This will be my experience for the rest of my life. I'm experiencing and suffering depression. I am depressed, and that's all I will ever be from this moment forward. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm experiencing fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. That defines me now. I'm defined by my experience. But from a risen Savior in an empty grave, he reminds us that where we are is not all we are or is not who we are. Where we are is not all we are or who we are. Where we are is simply where we are, and it does not define us. Now, we have to deal with it. We have to face it. We have to figure out how to overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have to overcome it with the life that Jesus has filled us with. But where we are is not who we are. Where we are is not all we are. You are experiencing fear, but your life is more than fear. You are experiencing grief, but your life is more than grief. There is a moment beyond the grief. There is life beyond the grief. You are experiencing grief, but your life is more than grief. Life has left you hurt, but life in him is more than hurt. You feel broken, but in him you are more than your brokenness. You have sinned, but in him your life is not defined by your sin. It's defined by his grace. That where you are is simply where you are. It is not who you are, and it is not all you are. That in Jesus, life is more than just where we find ourselves. Outside of Jesus, I don't know if that's true. But because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, because of a living, risen Savior sitting in a place of death and defeat and destruction, sitting up, breathing, going, I'm not defined by where I find myself. We know that where you are is not all you are. And where you are is not who you are. That in Him, we find a way forward from where we are into the life that He has for us, into the strength that He has for us, and into the power that He has for us. And that leads me to the third and final thought today is simply this, that Jesus's life, it meets people in dead places. Jesus's life, it meets people in dead places. Now, we read Luke's account of the women coming to the tomb and finding that Jesus's body was no longer there and that the stone was rolled away. And these bold women walk right into an empty tomb and then they run back to the disciples. In John chapter 20, John gives us an account of John, the disciple that Jesus loved. John gives us an account of the women coming back and telling the men, and Peter and John and the women going together back to the tomb to figure out what's happened. And after Peter and John step into the tomb and see the empty tomb and see no body where there was supposed to be a body, they see there's no body where there's supposed to be a dead body. They see no body, but they see a folded up piece of linen. They're confused as all get out. They assume that someone has stolen the body. That someone has taken the body, because surely there was supposed to be a body and there's no body. And their first thought is not a resurrection. Their first thought is someone has stolen the body. So Peter and John go back to tell the disciples that someone has stolen the body. And Mary stays there weeping because she believes that someone has stolen the body. And she's broken, and she's desperate, and she's just losing her mind over what has happened to the Savior that she loved and the Savior that she followed. In John chapter 20, starting in verse 11, we're told this, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb once more. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She says, "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them. "And I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. I love that. She sees Jesus, but through her tears, through her crying, she can't tell that Jesus is Jesus. In verse 15, "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" And I imagine in this moment, because you know she can't tell, Jesus kind of winks, like, "Why are you crying? I can't imagine. Who is it that you're looking for?" Wink. Supposing he was the gardener, she's now heard the voice of Jesus, seen the body of Jesus, still doesn't recognize Jesus because Jesus is supposed to be dead. Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And she goes to embrace him. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. So Mary, in this moment, Mary has found herself in a place of death, in a place of despair, in a place of confusion. The resurrection has happened, and she doesn't know it, and she doesn't understand it. So she's lost. She's desperate. She's freaking out about the missing body. The missing body. And that's where Jesus meets her. He meets her on her turf, on her terms, and he encounters her, and he reveals himself to her. And because of this encounter, she would never be the same, because while it started in her mess, while it started in her confusion, while it started in her brokenness, while it started in a place of death, it would not stay there as she came to realize and recognize the reality of the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Instantly, her tears were turned to joy, and her worry is turned to perfect peace. And then from here, there's two things that I want us to understand. Number one is that Jesus meets people in dead places. You're like, no, Chris, you said that when we're looking for life in the wrong places, that we don't find it. But yeah, we don't find it when we're looking in the wrong places. But even when we find ourselves in the wrong place, when we look to Jesus, we find Jesus. Jesus meets us even when we're digging in the wrong places. When we look to Jesus, Jesus meets Mary in her sorrow, meets her in her lost place, meets her in her confusion, in her fear, in her despair, in her desperation. That is where Jesus met Mary. And that is where Jesus meets people. And if you find yourself there today, the good news for you is that that is where Jesus will meet you. He will meet you in your confusion, in your despair, in your dysfunction, in your fear, in your lostness. He will meet you there because that's where Jesus meets people. You don't have to have everything right. You don't have to have anything perfect. You don't have to have anything or everything figured out. He will meet you wherever you are. And that is good news because all of us find ourselves in lost and broken places whenever we find ourselves apart from Jesus. That's where we go. That's where we always end up when we go apart from Jesus. But that's also good news because when Jesus meets people in dead places, they come alive in him. They come alive. Like when Jesus meets us in dead places, when Jesus met me in dead places of my own effort and my own religiosity and my own human effort, when Jesus met me in the dead places of the things that I was pursuing looking for life, when Jesus met me in my dead places, I didn't stay dead. I came to life in him. When Jesus meets people in dead places, they don't stay dead, but they come alive. And they don't just come alive and have to figure it out on their own. When Jesus meets people in dead places, they don't stay dead. They come alive with his life. Because the place of death is a setup for what he'll do next. The place of death is a setup or the proving ground for what Jesus will do next. See, you find yourself in a place of hurt. It's a setup to experience his healing. The place of hurt feels like a place of death and defeat, but it's not a place of death and defeat when Jesus shows up there. When Jesus shows up there, it's no longer a place of hurt. It's a proving ground for his healing. You find yourself in a place of anxiety and fear, and it feels overwhelming, and it feels overpowering, and it feels like it overcomes you, and it feels like there's no tomorrow. But when Jesus shows up there, it's a place for experiencing his peace. You find yourself in a place of frustration, and that frustration feels like that's all there'll ever be. It feels like it's all there that you'll ever experience. But when Jesus shows up in a place of frustration, it's a setup for experiencing his breakthrough. You find yourself in a place of addiction. That place of addiction feels like it's all you're going to ever know, and you can never overcome it. You can never move past it. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up there, it's a setup for experiencing his freedom, the freedom that can only come when he delivers you from addiction. You find yourself in a place of mess and you're thinking life is always going to be like this and it's going to be, and I can never figure it out. And I'm a mess. And it feels like a place of defeat and it feels like a place of death because you can't clean it up in your own power. It's a setup. When Jesus shows up, it's a setup for experiencing his cleansing. And you find yourself in a place of sin, I'm telling you what, when Jesus shows up and he meets you in the place of sin, it's a setup for knowing his salvation. That when Jesus meets people in dead places, the dead don't stay long, they stay dead for long, they come to life in him. This is why I love what Paul wrote as he described the resurrection life that Jesus has and that Jesus brought out of the grave, that even in a place of death, we can know life eternal. We can have life, real life in the here and now, and we can have life eternal in the life to come. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul wrote this. It said, he is also the head of the body, the church, talking about Jesus. Jesus is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I love, you might guess what part I'm leaning into, but the part that I repeated over and over again. He's the first to rise. He is not the only, and he's not the last. He's the first from the dead. He's the first raised to resurrection life, and we're invited to join in his new and living way. He's the first raised to new life, and we're invited to leave our old life behind and follow him into new life. He's the first raised from the dead, and now we're invited to live reconciled to God. He's the first raised from the dead, and now us people who have been separated from God, now we're invited to live at peace with God that Jesus made available for us between us and God. He's the first raised to life. And he has invited us to follow him out of our places of death and destruction and defeat and despair, and to follow him and live in him and follow him in his new and living way that he has invited every single one of us to follow in. And when I say every single one of us, that includes you. And so on this Easter Sunday, I believe with my entire heart, with everything in me, that God wants you to know that there's some places that you've been looking for life, and you've been looking for life in all the wrong places. And he loves you, and he has life for you, and he created you with the desire that has unfortunately led you in those wrong places. But he desires to meet you there. And when he meets you there, you need to know that where you find yourself does not define yourself. But you need to know that when he meets you there, we come alive in him. That when Jesus meets us in a place of death and despair and defeat, it doesn't stay that way for long. But we come, when Jesus meets people in dead places, we come alive in him. When we place our trust in the resurrection of Jesus, and when we place our trust in the death of Jesus on the cross, as the payment for our sins to make us right with God and to bring us peace with God and to give us to extend us forgiveness that we can only have from him. And then when we trust in his resurrection life that is only found in him, and then we follow him in that life. Today, on this Easter Sunday of 2024, today for some of you, it's the day for you to stop looking in all the wrong places and to stop looking to all the wrong people and looking for all the wrong purposes for the life that only God can offer you. But it's time to where you find yourself right now to look to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, to extend you a life beyond what you've experienced right now. And in that moment to experience his resurrection life in your own life. That's what Jesus has for you on this Sunday. But I'm going to tell you this, that's what Jesus has for you every day. Because resurrection life is not just something we experience one time when we pray a prayer. It's something we're invited to live in every single day. And that's the good news that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And it's the good news we celebrate every day of our lives as followers of Jesus who follow him in his resurrection life. Would you let me pray for you? For some of you today, as we're praying, this is a day, this is a moment for you to begin again, to begin anew, maybe to begin for the first time, to place your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, to trust in Jesus and begin to walk in his resurrection life. And today that happens, as I'm about to pray, that happens by placing our trust in his death on the cross to make us right with God. And it happens by trusting in his resurrection to bring us the new life that we've been searching for and to bring us real life that we've been looking for our entire lives. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for everything that you are to us. Thank you for everything that you have for us. And God, today I simply pray that you would help us to know you and experience you. And God, I pray that we would place our trust in what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, that his death was enough to pay the price for us. And God, I pray that we would trust in Jesus' resurrection as the thing that can bring us the life that you have to offer us, life beyond a heartbeat, life beyond just simply experiencing life, life that comes from you, that flows through Jesus, that walked out of the grave and invited us and invites us today to follow you out of our place of death and into your place of life. So God, help us to trust in that. Help us to rejoice and to celebrate what you've done through Jesus. And help us to live in the new resurrection life that you've made available for us. We love you, God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death. We thank you for his resurrection. And God, we're so glad that we get to live in it and to walk in it and to walk it out every day for the rest of our lives until we see you face to face. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.